Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. It's coming home. How the devil are you?
Yeah, well, it's coming home. Ollie might not have come home, though, until quite late. So he's a sleepy boy. I've had a bath this morning.
What?
On a Thursday work day, I figured I'm not going to get many more of these.
An hour and a half. Is this why you went offline for an hour and a half while I was trying to get you to confirm the thumbnail we were using today?
I just needed a bath, man. I just needed some time.
I just sat there going like, I need to sort this stream out, but I need Ollie to sign off on the thumbnail first.
You do your own thing, man. Don't put that stuff on me.
No. Because the last few times I have done my own thing, you've then come along and be like, yeah, I think we should change it. So I figure it might just be best if I just get you to confirm it.
Yeah, well, the football is coming home. Of course, England beat Denmark last night to get into the final with Italy on Sunday. I'm recapping this as much for my own disbelief as I am American viewers. And I was in a bar last night in central London, which certainly started off with coronavirus precautions being observed. But that, it was insane how quickly that fell apart.
I was watching the news this morning, and there was lots of footage from pubs and bars and sort of things like that. And I turned to my wife and I was like, I guarantee you a lot of those people there are also the people that are saying, can't wait till Freedom Day in a couple of weeks' time when we finally won't have any of these shackles that are stopping us from doing anything that we want to do. I'm like, you're doing it now. Mm. It's the same people that have been like, I've been cooped up indoors for 16 months. I was like, have we all forgotten last summer when we all went to the beach because our government decided to just sack it all off for a bit? Like, I don't buy into this Freedom Day bollocks, to be honest.
I prefer it right now because it's table service.
Yeah,
I love table service. I know I've got a seat. I hate standing up on nights out unless I'm boogieing and I'm knocking back the Red Bulls and VKs.
You're not doing that. You're far too old to be doing that, mate.
Hey, you don't know me. I can get back on the dance floor when this is all over.
You're sat there with your pint of Guinness. And then you have a second pint of Guinness and you think, can't have a third though, because that was a bit too heavy in the old, that was too heavy in the old tum-tum. So I'm going to have myself a whiskey drink and not enjoy it.
And a lager drink.
rather than get a gin and tonic drink that I would enjoy.
Well, I certainly had more than two Guinnesses last night. But when we went into the pub, you know, we chose this one because last time we went there, there were like two other people in the entire pub and it's very well organized. But, you know, this was an England game, so it was fully booked. So should have seen this coming. But you had every name Like, you get people's details. It wasn't just like, oh, what's the name of your, the person who booked the table for you? It's like your name was down there too as the guest, and you had to show your ID to get in. And they said as you went in, now, that we can't have any chanting or singing when you get down there. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Because, you know, when
screaming
you...
screaming in people's faces.
You sing, that's going to push around any airflow of the potential airborne coronavirus. Within 5 minutes. But before, like 5 minutes before the game started, a group of lads who was using the corona, you know, like the little Perspex shields between tables, he was just using that as an armrest. He left this big sweaty arm mark on his side. It was gross. Thank God it's not sweat transmitted. They just started going, England, England, England. And I thought, oh, crap. Oh well. No. And then, it was just absolute carnage. And then trying to get to the tube, there was a large group of people doing so, you know, in bullfighting, and you would have the red flag in front, that people were doing that with England flags and cars.
Oh, for God's sake.
Which was funny. Like, you can't, like, you can't deny. There's like a weird hysteria overtook everybody. I just sort of, you know, me and my friends, we just sat back outside, away from like this mass of people. But we're like, there's quite a lot of people there. And within 5 minutes, it had doubled in size. Just like people flocked to this group. And then people started to get on each other's shoulders. There was a traffic light somewhere in the group. So people started to climb up the traffic lights. And it was just like this escalation of what's the most ridiculous thing these people can do. So it started off with, here's a cone. Cone was being passed, a traffic cone being passed around the group. And someone would put it on their head while on the shoulders of someone else. And everyone would go, way! And then it was passed to the person on the top of the traffic lights. And he put it on and everyone went, way! And then he fell off. Oh my God. Because I left not shortly after that. I'd seen my fill. And so someone said they talked to the police when they were going back, because a lot of police turned up to break up this unruly mob.
No, it was about time, really. Bloody hell.
And when I say break up, I mean just stand by and hope it doesn't get bigger. That's what they did.
Like,
what can you do though?
I mean, in fairness, they weren't doing a silent vigil for someone who had been killed by a policeman. You know, they weren't doing anything like that.
Luke, it's coming home. Don't make me feel bad. Anyway,
well, you've just got to know when to enforce the rules. When people are climbing up onto the top of traffic lights and falling off them with their cones and, you know, disobeying the government guidelines for social distancing and stuff, you just stand back and let them do if a woman wants to light a candle because a friend of hers died, that's when
it's
you step in.
It's a fire hazard. It's a fire hazard.
Exactly.
There's a lot of dry grass around.
That's when you step in and beat them up.
Well, the apparently the police had to get into the middle of the... This is what the police told my friend, because that man needed to go to hospital.
I am unsurprised.
Yeah, but then what happened after that is somebody else tried to climb up the traffic pole.
Well, they want to get the way.
But the crowd realized that was behind it. They're like, who's this dickhead? You know, that was like the whole crowd.
Who's this Johnny come lately?
Well, what's this guy doing? He's not the first guy who went up there when it was cool and new. And people just started chucking full pints of beer, bottles. Someone threw a coat. I was like, that's someone's coat. That's real. He threw it a really long way. I was like, they're not getting that coat back for an hour. And he sort of like got up there and trying to play along like, ho, 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 yeah, I'm not as good as the first guy. But, and then he just started to try and lead a chant and everyone just shouted him down. It's remarkable. Like, it's real life trolling, but it's very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And dangerous. Of course it's dangerous, but very funny.
I saw, like, the footage I saw this morning, like, people were climbing up on top of buses as they were mm-hmm. trying to do their bus route and stuff too. And it was the sort of things, like, so me and my wife watched the game last night. We very much enjoyed it. It was just the two of us. We had some drinks and we had a lovely little time. I got well into the game. I was proper anxious because, oh, it was a nervy, like, you know, second half. Really nervy extra time, particularly after we'd scored. But I always felt like I felt like we were sitting in a trap. I'm not going to talk about like I know what I'm talking about here, but I'm just, you know, to give you my, I was having a very, you know, fun time watching this. And then we've woken up this morning and we've seen the footage from London. And it wasn't just in London, it was sort of around the country. And it was, you know, Bellends acting like Bellends. And it was the sort of things like, oh, so this is why I don't like football. That's I knew there was a reason. And it's billionaire football owners. Mm. And it's also knobheads.
Yeah. It is funny, though. It's weird, like, honestly, so you've heard, I wasn't aware of this before last night, but the Atomic Kitten song Hole Again.
Yeah, Hole Again.
Has been repurposed. Yeah.
Football's coming home again.
Yeah. And it's got a rousing chorus. That's the main bit. But unfortunately, it also has quite a few verses, which no one has cared to learn the words for. And why should they? So when that song was played at the end in the pub, mind you, that initially said it wanted to discourage singing, everyone sang the chorus over every verse. So they just sang the chorus 8 times in a row. It was freaking hilarious. One of the funniest things that I've seen happen in a sort of rowdy atmosphere is, you know, the Partridge on a Pear Tree Christmas song.
Oh, yeah. And you would say, rather than do 11 Maids of Milking or anything like that, you would always just do
Gold Rings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every number is gold ring. 12 gold rings, 11 gold rings, 10 gold rings. And everyone's waiting for it. 8 gold rings, 7 gold rings. It's coming. 6 gold rings. And everyone goes ballistic. 5 gold rings. It's just buffoonery of the purest order.
I mean, me and my wife were laughing. Like, so we didn't have a morning meeting today because we don't do on a Thursday. But I was going to ask Andy or producer Rich, perhaps like I might just message producer Rich, if someone could explain to me why England have co-opted Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline as sort of like a song that we sing.
Oh, that's been going on forever. That was a song when I was a kid.
I know, but I'm just curious to know why, because he is American and that song is not about football or England. It's about a woman. And I'm like, you've changed the lyrics, though. The lyrics are like, Southgate, you're the one. You still turn me on. Football's coming home again. This is just, no, I'm just going to sing Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline because it's a fun song to sing.
It's a banging song.
It's just, and it is a banging song, but it's all of a sudden become like, it's our third national anthem behind Three Lions by the Lightning Seeds with Badil and Skinner. And Badil and Skinner were there at Wembley last night. And I thought, are they sat there being like, guys, we literally wrote a song about football. Like, surely we should be singing that as opposed to this random song.
Yeah, but Sweet Caroline has a bit where you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's about the feeling. It's the good times, and they've never felt so good. Whoa,
so good.
Whoa, whoa. So good. That's not even in the song,
bam,
whoa, whoa,
bam,
whoa.
Ba. I was going to say, I wouldn't have done a whoa, whoa, whoa. I'd have done a bam, ba, dam.
That's a bit big bandy, isn't it?
Well, it's a big band song.
You with your little conductor's cane twirling it in your top hat.
That's what the bum, friggin' bum, song bum. It is. It's a Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Like, it's
I disagree. It's a whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's not a whoa, whoa, whoa song.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, you're making it sound like it's welcome to the jungle. Sweet Child of Mine. You're not going like whoa, whoa, asking someone to hold the phone a little bit. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Don't you want me, babe? Whoa, 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 whoa. Remember that advert?
I do remember that advert.
I'm going off on a tangent. I brought that up in a podcast. I've not got high hopes for this AEW review. Fantastic show. I'm not turning up though. I'm gonna be on autopilot.
Oh well, I mean, enjoy this one. This might be the highlight of the whole podcast. Enjoy the show nonetheless.
I hope Zelina Vega's been practicing her back bumps, because I'm pretty sure she's going through tables for the next couple of months. Lace those boots, Nia Jax. You've got to bury someone, because Aleister Black just debuted in AEW, but 35 days after getting released from WWE. We'll get into how that could have happened very shortly. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Cohen. This is the AEW Dynamite Review Podcast, the second one since we've been back after the June hiatus when Dynamite was airing on Fridays. I think we've been pretty spoiled here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been some pretty good shows. Last week's show was a lot of fun. And this week's show was like, because it's the first show back on the road, I think that a lot, like, they were saving stuff to do here. Not only were they, like, saving stuff to do for, like, this show, i.e., you know, the debut of Malakai Black, but also just redo some of the segments they did last week, where they were just like, I mean, those segments were so good. Should we just do them again? And they were like, yeah, because we've got a new audience of fan that we can do it in front of. They're from Miami, they're different fans. Mm. And so they did. We just had a match that we had last week. We also had essentially the same Kenny Omega Dark Order segment that we had last week.
Which match did they repeat? Oh, the Bucks, the main Penta. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, QT Marshall versus Cody Rhodes, which I think I've seen 1,000 times now. And I've seen Cody win every single one of them. What a feud, by the way. So it was kind of nice to, like, this was a, you know, almost like a restart show for AEW in a way.
I will go to bat for that main event, as I'm sure you will.
Oh yeah,
it makes total sense booking. We criticize WWE a lot for doing repetitive matches. This one makes sense because you started off with the beat the champions to get the title shot match last week, and that was followed up by a title match with a stipulation. That is the natural progression, usually, of wrestling feuds. But our main talking point today, and is, well, I mean, I'd say like the biggest, I can't see there being a bigger wrestling news story this month, but I expect WWE to have some big plans when they go back to touring next Friday. But yes, Aleister Black turned up in the middle of the show in an Arn Anderson promo. So of course, like, you know, the obligatory, I will enter a feud with Cody Rhodes now for the new ex-WWE star. How it happened was Arn comes out for a promo. He's just about to talk to Tony Schiavone. Lights cut out. The lights had cut out previously in the opening match, which the commentators blamed on just a power outage. There's been some weather problems here. Of course, there's that Storm Elsa coming along. So, I mean, when that happened, were you like, oh, okay, yeah, red herring time?
Exactly. Yeah, I figured that something was up. Let's just say, but I thought it was quite nicely foreshadowed in a way.
I love that they did it. Yeah, but for me, as soon as I saw that, that did the opposite of what they were trying to do, because they did the exact same thing in All In. Do you remember with Chris Jericho? They did a few technical difficulties earlier in the night, so when the lights cut off for Jericho to reveal himself as fake Pentagon. But I do appreciate it. I'm not criticizing.
It was more
I saw it coming.
It was more real when they did it in All In as well, because there was something about All In that felt quite ramshackle in a way, really.
With its 20-man commentary booths.
and a match that went 15 minutes over its runtime. Yeah. Christ, we have not got enough time for this main event now.
I mean, what did they expect? It was an Okada match. At that point in his career, he would not wrestle under 35 minutes. Yeah. So the lights cut out and it comes back up. And there is Aleister Black standing there in a black suit and a lot of like makeup on his eye. It looks like kind of bruised and, but a bit more than bruised, like bloodshot, like kind of how you would do sort of a sort of, I don't know, you're better with horror stuff, kind of like an evil possessed infection.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, I think a lot of fans have appreciated of this, is that this is a continuation of sort of what he was doing in WWE. Like before he left WWE, he had the sort of the one eye is a different color thing, which stemmed from the Kevin Owens feud, if I recall correctly. It might be from that. I can't remember when it was from in the end now. Maybe it was before the Kevin Owens thing.
It was part of Seth Rollins, wasn't it?
Was it Seth do it?
Black took it out on Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, like, it's weird, isn't it, that it's hard to remember Aleister Black storylines on the main roster when I think he had one, and we cannot remember what it is. Because every other one was just like, I'm sat in a cupboard, and then I'm sat in a different cupboard. Now I'm reading from a book. Anyway, so I think a lot of fans kind of appreciated that. But, like, the key to this is that earlier in the day, Aleister Black had released this video on Instagram, which is part of this thumbnail here, where he was debuting this new character. He is Tommy End, which is his, you know, his outside of WWE name. But he's also got this other side of his character. He's got this other side of Tommy End. This isn't Tommy End. His name's not Tom. This is Malachi Black. This is the devil made me do it. This is a possession, a split personality thing that has taken over from him. And you had like Excalibur on commentary saying like, look, I wrestled Tommy End in PWG. That's not Tommy End. Like, this is a different guy. And the commentators were sort of scrambling when it was. And yeah, Excalibur there to be like, this is what he said was coming. This is Malachi Black. So to put over this new character. I thought it was a really cool presentation because it was, apparently it was Murphy that took Tommy's. Mm-hmm. So it was the same thing. Cool. Thank you very much, Chaz. I honestly don't care. And it was, what was my point? Anyway, so like he takes out Arn Anderson, right? And then Cody is like, whoa, what are you doing, you big Jeb Ends? And he sort of goes in there and Aleister Black's like, yeah, sorry about that. Please go check on your trainer. Bang, straight in there with another Black Master Cody.
What is Cody doing there? I do not trust a man who's just get like, it wasn't an accident. And Black wasn't even going, oh, oops, sorry. It was, I don't know why Cody, I'm just going to look away from you now. Crazy man. Like, visibly crazy man. He deserved it, Cody.
Absolutely. I thought it was a really cool debut. I thought it was very, very effective.
A lot of just sort of attention to detail in this as well. I echo everything you said about the commentary team. I thought they handled it perfectly. Another company would have played dumb. Who is this? I have never seen this person before. They have no prior history anywhere else other than this moment. Whereas, like, you know, oh, no, I was checking this very famous guy's Instagram earlier. Looks like this is what ties into it. It's like, oh, the commentators are competent at their jobs. That's great. But also, Aleister Black was in a black suit and Cody was in a white suit. So they're really, like, leaning into these themes of light and dark, which is very exciting. I must admit, when he debuted, I had the shock, like, oh, my God, cool. And then I saw the eye and I was like, And then they said he's called Malachi Black. And I went, And then he hit a black mass. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. But then I was just, I'm not saying I'm down on it because I, you know, one of the great things about AEW is it might not be a week. It might not be a month. It might not even be 9 months, but usually they make stuff work excellently. Like, Miro is the real success story there. And I see this, and I'm hoping they're going to go in the route of sort of psychological realism. It is a man having just sort of crazy psychotic episodes, as opposed to any form of supernatural possession.
Oh, yeah. And we'll certainly see with this, based on sort of the video that he put up on Instagram, it didn't feel like it was a demonic possession type thing. It more felt like, you know, this is breaking out
I disagree. I think it very much felt like that.
I don't know.
That's kind of the continuity.
Yeah, I think that is the character thinks that it is, as opposed to an actual devil has sort of taken over him. But perhaps I am, perhaps I'm reaching, perhaps I'm very wrong in this. We'll certainly see, like, in a couple of weeks' time. I have seen there were people who were very critical, of course they were, of the commentary team, for knowing that his name was Malakai Black, because surely you should have known him as Tommy End. You wouldn't know that he is Malakai Black. I would say Excalibur is definitely the sort of commentator that would be stalking people's Instagrams and to find out information. And it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type thing, because people were critical of WWE for them not knowing who Viper was when she came in as this new character. And now they sort of are supposed to know, but also not know. But you're also critical of them knowing who the character is. So I think it was really much a damned if you do, damned if they did, damned if they don't situation. I think there is an argument, though, that could be made that you call him Tommy End here, and then next week he says, I am not. You kind of, so you can tell the rest of the audience, I'm not Tommy End, I'm Malakai Black. But a name, by the way, I don't particularly hate. It might just be because I really like Children of the Corn. And so the name Malakai just sort of like, it's sort of like, it's a very evocative name for me.
What's in Children of the Corn for Malakai?
So Malakai is one of the sort of lead sort of bad kids in the film. And he's like, I just thought it was like a really cool name, like when I first saw Children of the Corn. And I mean, there's probably some religious connotations to it as well. I don't really know. But it makes me think of Children of the Corn. Therefore, I'm kind of warmed to it quite quickly. Because Malakai was a really cool character in Children of the Corn.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm down on Malakai Black or anything. You know, I'm very excited. He's going to have great matches. But I think it's one of those things where the character might not necessarily be for me. But I'm not saying it's a bad character. Unless they go into supernatural stuff. So have fun. I'll just, you know, be enjoying. I'll be rooting for my boy Cody. Because he's got to win this one, right?
You're literally the only person in the world, I think, who is rooting for Cody at this point.
He needs the win. Poor guy.
He does need to pick up some wins, really.
I thought, you know, I was going to do a whole bit in my news today about, like, where has this come from? It isn't true. Like, Cody puts over so many people. Darby Allin, MJF, you know, like, he makes young stars. And I looked back on his cage match. He has won so much. Against people he should put over sometimes as well.
I kept saying in the lead up to Double or Nothing, man, Agogo should be winning here. Agogo should be winning this match. And when he didn't, I was like, that is so shocking that he did not win that match. Because all of that gut punch stuff was just to put Cody over, which is the total opposite of what we should have been going here.
Well, that's it. Malakai Black comes in and he is the person for Cody to overcome. Because you know what this feud is really about? It's about America. And here's this Dutch guy just walking and being, oh, hi, guys. Let me give you a little kick. And Cody's like, this is America. We don't kick our veterans over here. He's like, I'm a stoned man. Come on, America. It writes itself.
I also, the other thing to make mention of with the debut of Malakai Black and him showing up in AEW is, you know, the question, how did this happen? Well, it's because he was meant to have 90 days. WWE sort of bollocked up this contract. He only had 30 days, so he was able to show up a bit earlier. That's very funny. That is Rock. Do you remember when The Rock was a free agent when he like left in sort of the early 2000s because they just forgot to offer him a new contract? And he was like, well, my contract's up. I'm off now. I have to go now. My planet needs me. And they were like, oh, no, what a clerical error. This is just another clerical error. But it was also reported by Dirt Sheet Boy Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful. and he was, you know, on that day, posted that, you know, like, it's expected that Alec is going to be showing up in AEW. So I'm really hoping Zelina Vega's got a few more Dirt Sheet Boy tweets scheduled to go about how they just make up news stories about people.
We know Sean is in the chat, obviously. And, you know, he spread. Well, I think a few people have, I haven't seen him, but I've seen a lot of people say he's there. And I just hope this proves something to him that, you know, you can't just go spreading lies about Zelina Vega's WWE return, Sean.
It's out of order, mate. Honestly, you need to have a word with yourself. It
all
hurts.
These dirt sheep riders are the same, aren't they?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is brought to you by the good folk over at manscaped.com.
One of the most painful things in life for us blokey blokes is pulling a hair out of our nose with tweezers.
No joke, I did it the other night while watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though I did it with my fingers because I'm a man and I really wish I hadn't because it really hurt. And then I felt sad and I was unable to enjoy Willow's traumatic journey to becoming Dark Willow.
Oh God, you're an idiot.
I am?
Because you should have used Manscaped's Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer, a trimmer they've spent over a year developing, reinventing the traditional nose trimmer into something way more effective. A 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system, contoured 23-degree angle, water-resistant tech, and a lithium-ion battery that lasts so long I've had mine for 6 months and have yet to charge it.
So start off your 2021 right by upgrading your Manscaped routine to include the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer, and you can get 20% off with free international shipping by using our promo code WTTV at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with the promo code WTTV to get 20% off and free international shipping.
Thanks, Manscaped, for making me a better man.
And thanks for letting me enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay, should we see what, let's see what everybody thinks. I think everyone's very excited. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats there. We'll read out every single one of them. Over $5 before the end of the stream. Anthony Velasquez says, very surprised to see Black show up on AEW last night. And I like how he came in with the eye injury, keeping kayfabe alive a bit just because he isn't with WWE anymore. Doesn't mean he can't bring that little detail to AEW. Stephen Guzman, Black versus Cody will lead the Cody heel turn. Arn was going to announce his retirement. Cody was already acting heelish in the final Darby Allin match. That was in September, I think. He loses to Black. No, it was Full Gear, October, November. He loses to Black. Arn retires. Cody betrayed by friends is finally broken and snaps. My working theory.
Sean Rossap would like to apologize for his lies.
Someone send that to Andy, we need to write that up for a WrestleTalk.com article. I don't think Cody's turning heel. I know I said that a lot in the Agogo one, but I don't think that's where it's going. Charles Berg. So I'm watching Five Puppies and it's difficult. Everybody is sleeping soundly and then Black debuts and I mark out. All of my puppies wake up and I have to take them out again at 11 p.m. I'm really happy to see a wrestler in a place that will appreciate him. Charles Berg is talking about literal puppies. He's not some Jerry Lawler style anachronistic throwback act. Gerald Hazelwood. I know some people want Black to lead the Dark Order, but I think he should offer to lead them to only be rejected. This leading to Black feuding with the Dark Order, maybe even setting up Page's first big feud after he beats Kenny. After he loses to Kenny, Gerard.
Yeah, and also the Dark Order has a leader. It's negative one.
Mm-hmm. And that should always be the case. One Anonymous 243. My co-workers hate when I watch wrestling at work because I can get loud. First Sting, then Samoa Joe, now this. To my credit, I did my best not to scream, but I did whisper shout, holy shit, and shove away from the computer desk so hard my earbuds popped out, lol.
Wow.
That's, because I've got wireless, thank you, Raycon, I've got wireless ones now, so I'm like, I haven't, but I used to get that all the time. Oh my God. One Anonymous again, 243. For anyone wondering how I get away with watching wrestling at work, it's because technically I'm the boss, since I'm the evening supervisor. Also, someday I'll tell you guys the story of what happened when I watched Sting debut, because it's quite funny. We all get away watching wrestling at work, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, although on my old job before I started working for WrestleTalk, I actually got a disciplinary note because I was watching wrestling at work. Because I made the argument, for me, it's like listening to a podcast while I'm working.
Mm.
It's just there to be sort of a distraction. I've got my headphones in, and it's just there to be a distraction. I may as well have had the phone turned the other way. I was just listening to the noises. That was when I was going through my stretch of trying to watch every WWE pay-per-view in order.
Yeah, I think when you hit the late 90s Attitude Era stuff, there's probably a lot of inappropriate female nudity segments for the workplace.
Just pop that down for the moment.
Just a few more here before we get on with the full Dynamite review. Nate S., do you think they are going with a dual personality thing with End Black, or just kept screwing up the name? Either way, I absolutely love that Black is in AEW. He was always the one guy I wanted from WWE to join. So excited to see his creativity unchained.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see in a couple of weeks. I think it's a dual character thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Matthew McFadden, I think Malakai Black is AEW's version of The Fiend, in that he changes people after feuds as well as the blackout attacks. Black has always said he has always wanted to work with Bray, and he's a huge fan, and some say Cody's character needs a bit of a shake-up. I think that's very early to make those assumptions. I feel like Cody's going to be American Hero for a while.
Of course he is. He is Captain America. Homelander.
And he will defeat Holland! The evil Netherlands. Always, you know, famously aggressive country, the Netherlands. Actually, I suppose they are. I was making a joke, but they had a hell of a lot of colonies. I'm on a tangent. Joel Smith, my streaming service went out after the lights. Did so I didn't get to see the initial pop, but it made a power outage more believable.
Nice.
And finally for now, Patrick Kaniski. Hi, guys. Loved the episode last night. I hope Malakai is the start of a Cody heel turn. The fans are still hot for him, but it feels like a hot for him. But it feels like a Cena wins LOL moment. Maybe Malakai is the one Cody can't beat and he falls into his madness. Everyone wants the Cody heel turn.
I would say there that Patrick kind of contradicts themselves a little bit there, because he's like, everyone's really hot for Cody, but he feels like John Cena at the moment. Like, there's a difference there, because people weren't hot for Cena as a babyface. He got a reaction, but they weren't hot for him as a babyface. People are still, like, crowd reactions are still massively into Cody. I think this whole Cody turning heel and fans are turning on him is a bit of a bubble. I don't think it's actually translating into TV audiences and live audiences.
Well, yeah, let's see. I also feel a bit like we're doing a show and we're cutting to the celebrities at ringside. Like, look, it's America's top team. Because we've also got SP3 in the chat.
Hey.
Hi, SP3. Nice to see you. So this episode of AEW Dynamite, it's Thursday, you know what that means, it's our review. Started off big with, it's the Road Rager, it's in Miami. Like, we've had fans back before in Daly's Place, but this felt different because it was in a new setting. They shot it differently, they shot it down the
ramp. Yeah, it was down the entrance ramp, yeah. It was cool, man. I really enjoyed it. And it was weird, not weird to see it back with fans, because as you say, we have had it for like a while, but because it's the first show not in Dave's place, there was a very special atmosphere to it. And it was really kind of nice to see them in a different place, I guess.
I know what you mean, but I sort of mourned the little familiar backstage areas. I feel like I know the kayfabe universe behind the scenes, like where Dark Order hang out, where the interviews are done, where catering is. But that's not a criticism. It's just that video package last week got me so much. I miss Daly's Place. But the show started off with a pretty big match, so big, only one person got an entrance. Cody Rhodes took on QT Marshall in a strap match.
And he was Homelander again. Actually, someone has just pointed out. I just saw a comment there that made me laugh. You know, we were talking about how like the crowds treat Cody as he's the big baby face. Someone said, I mean, in fairness, the crowds treat Homelander like he's the baby face as well. It's like, and that is true. But yeah, like, so this, he got the big entrance. He had his Homelander gear on again. QT did not get an entrance. I still don't know how this feud is still going, because Cody has beaten the Nightmare Factory time and time and time again. And so, like, I wasn't into this whatsoever. And I hate the Four Corners gimmick on a strap match. I think it's so lame. Like, this big blood feud is going to end when I touch four corner pads in a row that the referee says is okay. I just think it's a bit lame.
But the crowd can chant along. Crowds love to count, and they get to count up as opposed to up past three. Never happens.
Yeah, I wasn't into this.
The match was pretty well worked for the stipulation, I thought. Really good powerbomb off the top rope from Marshall, I think it was. Low blows behind the referee's back. Dustin ran out and took out the rest of the Nightmare Factory, brawled through the crowd. And the finish came when Cody was just about to hit the last one. But QT stood up, spat in his face, and Cody, I think he hit a low blow on him as revenge, and then three crossroads, 1, 2, 3, 4 wins. And they had the blackout in this match, sort of foreshadowing Aleister Black's debut later. I was curious to see how Cody would be received by a live audience. He was received very warmly, but I do think when the match started, the crowd didn't die, and apparently they were very loud. A lot of people there said it was incredibly loud all the time, so maybe the issue was with where the microphones were placed, because AEW have had issues with that before. But I did feel like the raw babyface fire from the crowd for Cody was lacking.
I completely agree. But as well, you know, this is our the big Cody entrance as well, with a so, you know, I thought it would be bigger than this. I think it's a mic issue more than the crowd issue, based on sort of the live reports that we've all seen as well. But I agree with you. But there's also the potential argument that is that I don't like, perhaps like me, people just aren't into this feud, because I've seen Cody beat QT Marshall quite a few times now. I don't think I need to see him beaten by touching some corner pads.
And the whole point of this, I thought, was to get Anthony Ogogo over. And of course, the poor guy has had to have eye surgery again. Looks like he's going to be out for 10 months. Oof, so it's a bit of a dud. This whole storyline, months long, bit of a dud, unfortunately. Kind of a bit out of people's hands because of the injury, but also at the same time, the creative wasn't spot on either.
Yeah. I mean, Dustin could have put over Komuroto.
But I like Komuroto.
So do I. But like, the Nightmare Family just won all the matches. There's one match that the Nightmare Factory won, and it was through shenanigans. I just don't think they never looked like a credible threat.
Well, we went backstage after that. Shawn Spears cut a promo on Sammy, and then Sammy threw a chair at his head. I'm pretty sure he would have been visible. You know, like when we make fun of WWE for, but you were just right there and everyone acts surprised when you walked into shop. But whatever. Then my favorite thing on the show. This was an amazing show. This was my favorite thing. It's Kenny Omega and Don Callis come out for an in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone. One of the great things about having fans back is that they will make organic chants. You know, you can literally script the crowd because they were wrestlers before. And it was nowhere near as good as something being organic and happening spontaneously and catching fire around a large group of people. And that's what happened here. Everyone just started chanting at Don, "You got fired. You got fired," because of the Impact storyline. And Don just shuts them down. Real men don't quit. They get fired. That is a moment we could never have had in lockdown.
Yeah, I absolutely loved this. Like, because not only that, but like, that's a crowd that are invested in all of this storyline. Like, that's an Impact Wrestling storyline that this crowd are chanting at Don Callis on an AEW show. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, because someone's got to represent Impact in AEW. Sure as hell won't be AEW doing it. We then got like, there's no one left to beat. They just work the crowd perfectly here because, of course, there is. It's Hangman Page. So everyone starts chanting, "Cowboy S-word, we want Hangman." Dark Order come out. Evil Uno gets in the ring. No one says Page's name, by the way. They're still just letting the crowd do it, working them perfectly. And Kenny just says, "What's the capital of Thailand?" And Evil Uno doesn't even get a chance to answer. "It's Bangkok. Kick him in the balls."
Evil Uno put up on Twitter later, was like, "Oh, Bangkok. Yeah, I probably should have seen that coming." And Colt Cabana retweeted it by saying, like, "I was yelling that from the ramp. You couldn't hear me. I used to do that joke all the time. Sorry for our lack of communication."
But then a brawl kicks out between the Dark Order and the Elite. And who should run down but Hangman Page? And this was otherworldly for me to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He comes in, he clears house. So much babyface fire. And he clotheslines Doc Gallows. And he falls out with Gallows. And I thought, oh, that's a mistake. Because there's still Kenny to beat up in the ring, but he's ended up outside the ring. And here I am being like, that's unfortunate. It was totally planned. Because then he hops up onto the apron and that, like that. And it's this moment where, you know, I didn't consciously think, that's the moment from Revolution that they're mirroring, when Hangman Page is in a buckshot lariat position on Kenny with his back turned in the ring. And that was because it was too quick for the crowd to have reacted that way. But everyone, when they saw that visual, all had the same collective memory of that happening just over a year ago. Very special. Very, very special.
I loved this. There's very, I don't want to say it's rare, but there are times when you are like, when you have a job that's like this, when you have to, you cover wrestling, right? And so you're taking notes while you're watching shows. There are certain moments when you just stop taking notes because you get so enraptured in what is going on. Like, I have very few notes for this segment because, like, I'd have had to pause the show and make them, because what I ended up doing is, like, I stop and I'm just watching the screen and I'm just, like, enthralled with what's going on. I've got a buttload of notes for the Cody QT Marshall match because I wasn't massive invested. Mm-hmm. This, I was like, stop taking notes and just, you're watching the screen, and I just could not take my eyes off it. And when he was on the apron, because I had the exact same thing as you, and he clotheslined Gallows out of the ring, I was like, that's weird. And then he gets up onto the apron into the buckshot lariat position. And I was like, this is beautiful. I absolutely loved it. I'm talking a lot about this at the moment because I'm writing a lot about Kenny Omega for the WrestleTalk magazine. I was reading an interview with him Bleacher Report, I think it was. Bleacher Report did this like whole article thing on Kenny Omega. And in that, he was like, "I don't really like wrestling. Like, I'm really good at it, you know, and I'm very athletic and I can do really cool moves, but I don't really like wrestling. What I like is movies and comic books and video games. I like storytelling. So, and there's a lot of things that happened throughout the last, you know, 2 years with Omega and Page. There's that amazing Twitter thread that everyone's sharing around at the moment that has cataloged this incredible story. And you're like, oh, that's what he means by that. Yeah, he is really good at wrestling, but actually what he's really good at is storytelling. And this is just, it's every single beat of this. And I go back to the videos that you and I did early doors of AEW, where we're like, I cannot believe this is the character that Kenny Omega is doing. I cannot believe this is what we are not getting Best Bout Machine Kenny Omega. We're not getting the cleaner Kenny. This is so stupid. I can't believe AEW haven't realized this. Totally being worked.
No.
That was always the plan. Because the whole point was
it wasn't a good plan.
He was meant to like fail so that him and Hangman, who had also failed, then came together. So you can build to this moment here where they're now on opposite sides of the ring. That's why that group, it's why that tag team was formed. I think we were completely worked by that.
I knew that was the story. They just did it bad. Because Kenny looked bored. He didn't look like a man losing. And anyway, that's a different thing. Page doesn't hit the buckshot lariat is the key to this. He steps in through the ropes. He has a face-to-face with Kenny Omega. And then there was a bit of a distraction, so Kenny took the chance to run away. And there we go. I'd be surprised if they do this not on pay-per-view. Surely this is the start of the build to them having a fight at All Out. Wow.
Has to be.
We'll pick up the pace a tad just because there's so much to talk about on this show. Darby Allin and Ethan Page backstage with Jim Ross doing a sit-down interview, which was quite an interesting way of approaching this death-blood feud, really, of both men wanting to end each other's careers. And they're just there speaking very rationally about it. Like, I brought you into this business, says Ethan. I'm going to take you out of it. I'm going to end your career. I thought it was very, very good.
Yeah, I thought Ethan Page got a great promo. Really, really good.
After that, we got a six-man tag with Hager, Santana, and Ortiz going against Wardlow and FTR. The Pinnacle picked up the win here when sort of FTR and Wardlow all ganged up on Hager. But it's all, again, based around Hager and Wardlow. Those two are really having a great through-line feud. Maybe the best through-line feud in this story?
When those two squared off, that was the biggest pop of the match.
Yeah.
Because Hager's in there and he's like beating up FTR and he grabs Dax, like throws him into the corner, yelling at him to tag in Wardlow. When Wardlow stepped in, all of a sudden this crowd, it's like they'd only just started watching the match, or like stood up and be like, oh man, the two big lads are going to slap some meat. And that was like where for me, I was watching this being like, man, you forget how good Santana and Ortiz are. Like they are, and I cannot wait for their feud with FTR to really culminate. But it appears to me that, what the crowd really want from this feud isn't even Jericho MJF. What they want to see is Hager and Wardlow.
I think Hager's doing some of the best work of his career. Like, he's really fiery in there. I say fiery a lot at the moment. I need to get a new adjective. Afterwards, Conan went to commit murder on Wardlow. It's because he's got a sock full of pool balls. Going to whack it on Wardlow's back of his skull? That's death. Tully.
He's
take
too big.
Conan out.
Conan. He's too big.
After that, we got Carl Anderson, a video package, challenging John Moxley for the United States IWGP Championship next week. The motivation being Kenny was the first ever United States champion in New Japan. So he's going to bring it home to the elite.
Friggin' hell, man. Machine gun, Carl Anderson, getting a singles match. I'm here for it.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people are familiar with Carl Anderson's singles work. Whenever he got to show it in WWE, like you could see, but it just gets squashed in the end. He is a phenomenal worker. Well, he was 4 years ago in the G1 and stuff, or 4 or 5 years ago. So hopefully he's still there and people can see, but I'm very excited for that. Mm-hmm. After that, we got MJF and Jericho sitting down in the ring for a MJF to present his terms for Jericho to get a final match with him, because MJF's won both encounters so far. And he lays out the labors of Jericho, which is based on the labors of Hercules, which I think it's 12 or 10 tasks that Hercules had to complete before he did something. To be honest,
I've never read the Bible. I don't know.
Very good. Well, I'm more familiar with this story through All-Star Superman, when Grant Morrison wrote this for Superman. I'm pretty sure it was 12 issues.
So you have read the Bible then?
Yeah, effectively. Grant Morrison definitely is the Bible.
Grant Morrison presents the Bible.
That would be bonkers. But yeah, so these are all, there'll be four matches against wrestlers and stipulations of MJF's choosing. If Jericho wins every single one of them, he gets to face MJF.
So Jericho had a line here when he said, if I can't complete this, I don't belong in All Elite Wrestling. So that still leads me to think that we are heading to a retirement stipulation, or even he doesn't actually get this. Like, he doesn't get to MJF. Like, he loses to, say, Wardlow or one of the other members. And then he offers the stipulation of, I will retire to get the MJF match. Other than him just winning all four matches and getting the MJF thing, there's quite a few avenues that you can take this down. But I do think Jericho saying, if I can't do this, I don't belong in this ring, I think it should be key.
I think, yeah, I agree. I think that's definitely a part of this. But I thought it was interesting where MJF laid out, I'm going to make you run through four people, just like you made Jon Moxley beat all of the Inner Circle before he got a shot at you.
Yeah.
It's weird that MJF said four wrestlers and he didn't just say, you've got to go through everyone in the Pinnacle.
Yeah. I mean,
which makes me think that he's not going to choose those guys. He's going to choose the Inner Circle to go against Jericho.
But you would, like, I think that would be a tactical error, because surely they can just lay down in the ring. You know, like the New Day Usos.
I know what you mean.
In the gauntlets. Yeah.
Well, maybe there's a stipulation or something where I can't work it out in my head, but I think the Inner Circle have a sort of rogue style honor where they, you know, they've settled differences in the ring before, where they both have to genuinely put on the best match, because Jericho's a babyface now. He can be like, no, if I can't beat you, I don't deserve to do it. And then you sort of, Jericho can hopefully make everyone look good, but beat them. But what it does is it furthers MJF's thing of wanting to break up the Inner Circle. And what better way is there than forcing Jericho to take on his friends?
There has to be some, you need to get a line of dialogue in there to explain as to why they don't just lay down. And it has to be something better than, and it has to be something better than, it needs to look like a real match. Like, you have to try, because that is quite lame.
I think there's a good idea there. I just don't know how to make it work.
There's a good idea. I mean, but this is why we're not in charge of a wrestling company.
Some fantastic lines in this. Jericho said he'd do anything to face MJF, even have sex with his mum. Again.
I wrote that line down because I know, I even wrote my notes here. That line is going to pop Ollie Davis. I popped for, you call yourself the demo god, which is funny because you're not even in that demographic anymore. I thought that was good.
Yeah. Oh, be nice to him. He's Chris Jericho. MJF is so good. I had then afterwards they agreed to do that. They shook hands and then Jericho hit him with the Judas elbow. My legs hurt him. You know, when they gave you your vaccine jab, where did they do it? Mm.
Into my arm.
They did it into my thigh.
Hmm. Why would they do that?
My thighs are killing me. My thighs are...
No. We all heard you.
My thighs are killing me. Thought that was funny. Tony Schiavone did an interview with Britt Baker backstage, And she sort of talked up her match with
Nyla Rose.
And she had a line about Saudi Arabia in there. And Tony Schiavone genuinely seemed a bit shocked when she said it.
Yeah, so what she was having a pop at Tony Khan, TK, because he allowed Reba to get injured. Like, what happened to Reba is Tony Khan's fault. And maybe, like, you accepted your blood money from Vicky Guerrero and Andrade El Idolo. Maybe you can go run a show in Saudi Arabia next week, which I'm sure some people will think is a shot at WWE. But I think it's I mean, it could be a shot at UFC. It could be a shot at, what was that comedian in Glazier's
Lad?
Boxing, because he did a show over there. I don't think it was specifically a shot of WWE. It would seem out of character for AEW to take a shot at WWE. So I don't think it was.
After that, we had ex-WWE star Andrade taking on ex-WWE star Matt Sydal, better known as Evan Bourne. This was Andrade's in-ring debut, and it was fine.
Well, do you know what I think it was might have been Excalibur who said that was a business-like debut. And that's exactly what it was. It was business-like. It was be like, yeah, go in there, win, and look convincing doing so. And that's exactly what he did. It was business-like.
Business to the extent of wearing your suit trousers in the ring?
That's his new gimmick. It was a textbook.
It's his old gimmick. He was two suspenders and a hat away from his NXT stuff.
Get some braces, mate. That's what you need to sell. This was a textbook debut match. And like Matt Sydal is like the textbook person to put him in there with. Didn't have to be flashy. Just had to go in there and win. And that's what he did. You know, like you pulled this face when FTR went in there and had this exact same match when they debuted in AEW. And then two matches later, you're like, oh, yeah, this is like why they're really cool. You don't just bust this sort of stuff out on TV willy-nilly. You save
why
that for
not?
The pay-per-view.
It's the debut match.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can say that after. Look, but what about Miro? Like, we're not going, oh, yeah, but all of those 8 months of nothing really was worth it.
That's slightly different.
It's just different.
No, that's a different thing. That's a character that didn't work, and they've now changed that character up, and now it works. That's very different to FTR having a standard match and then having one of the best matches of the year on pay-per-view.
But the best match of the year on pay-per-view happened, like, two, three months after.
Yeah, because you're building up to these sorts of things. I thought this was fine.
I think Andrade, especially with like 3 weeks of build, he's been walking around, he's with Vicky Guerrero, to come in and put in a performance like this, which was, like you said, business-like. It was fine in a company that prioritizes work rate. And I'm pretty sure there was no like meta idea to work the fans by doing a WWE style. But I watched this. I see Vicky out there. He's wearing freaking suit trousers. And I'm thinking, this is kind of like how he was in WWE.
Well, you know, in a few months' time when he's having banging matches, we'll reevaluate this conversation.
Yeah, well, no, we won't have to reevaluate it.
Yeah, because you'll sit there and be like, I was wrong.
No. He can get good. He can
Ollie,
get good,
it's
but
fine
that does
to be
not
wrong.
Mean.
Ollie, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong, mate.
Well, you would know. Not laughing at my Pfizer joke. That was a good joke. We got a video package for Matt Hardy versus Christian that will happen next week. Oh, Andrade won, by the way, and then continued to stretch out Sydal's arm afterwards. Then we got the Aleister Black debut. We've covered that. Then we got a very interesting recap of something that happened in the dark match bit. So before the show started, I think Hobbs and Hook had a match, and Ricky Starks comes down and he's got some security guys there, and he's like, these guys are here on my own dollar to protect me against Brian Cage. And Taz comes out and says, what are you doing? Like, we're together. You don't need to bring other guys. And Brian Cage comes down and clears house. It seems like Ricky Starks is breaking away from Team Taz, not Cage.
Yeah, it's, we've all been thinking that. And it's almost like he now doesn't trust anyone with, like, because he doesn't trust Cage, he now also doesn't trust Hobbs and Hook, which I think it's a really interesting wrinkle to this. It's kind of got me, like, I mean, excited for the match next week anyway, because I do really enjoy watching Ricky Starks work. So, I'm excited to see the match.
I thought Ricky Starks, just the way he carries himself, the mannerisms, the promo, he's so, so good at the moment. So I want to see a solo heel Ricky Starks all by himself more than I do Brian Cage doing that route. Mm-hmm. So I think they're on something very good there. Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander had an intergender tag match against the Blade and the Bunny. This is your only women wrestling on the show, and it's with some men. So that is unfortunate.
Yeah. That is unfortunate. And also, this wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I quite enjoyed it. Maybe just because Cassidy gets in at the start, does the little kicks, the crowd popped along.
Yeah, but like, because it's WWE intergender, I don't know, we had a professional comedian hosting the show.
Rich, stop putting up people's comments like that.
Because it's WWE, are you searching for more praising comments of you now?
No.
Because it's WWE intergender, when one of them tags in a woman, the other woman just automatically gets in, and vice versa. It means that you can't really build to hot tags, so there's no like fire behind any of the working over or anything like that. I will say though, like, because of that, the finish was at least fun, which is the Blade hit Orange Cassidy with the Nux. And then when he turned around to give the Nux back to the Bunny, Statlander reached in and she tagged Orange Cassidy. I mean, I don't think she was holding on to the tag rope, so it probably wasn't a legal tag. And so when the Bunny went, Blade went to pin Orange Cassidy, the ref was like, no, he's not the legal man. And that allows the Statlander to get in, hit the Big Bang Theory on the Bunny for the win. It was just like, meh, that's fine, I guess. I don't like this. If you can't do intergender wrestling, then don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Statlander is so cool. I don't mind seeing her beating up men.
Yeah.
Then we had what was like tied, I think, with two other segments as one of the best things on the show. They'd shown America's Top Team in the crowd earlier, which is Dan Lambert, Amanda Nunes, and some guy, I can't remember. They're UFC fighters. I know Amanda Nunes. And I know Dan Lambert, of course, because he was in Impact. But Tony Schiavone goes to interview them.
They're names that I hear Dave Meltzer say.
Yeah. But Tony Schiavone goes to interview them in the crowd, and Dan Lambert just grabs the mic, gets into the ring, cuts this awesome promo, just shooting on AEW, shooting on how, like, the wrestling was better with, like, he'll go home, put in some Miami whatever wrestling from the 70s and listen to Gordon Solé do a proper call of a match, and just buried the place doing a Cornette act. He is such a good heel. And then Lance Archer walks down, gives him a freaking blackout.
Yeah, murderizes this poor lad. It was so, I've seen some people really didn't like this segment.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There were some like people online that didn't like the segment. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really, really great. I thought that the MMA guy did an amazing promo, and I really enjoyed Lance Archer beating him up. I enjoyed Lance Archer killing the MMA guy, because the MMA guy did a really good promo that made me not like him. So I thought this was a complete, like, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I don't know what it's leading to, but I very much enjoyed it for what it was. Also, probably the best promo of the night.
Yeah. I don't think it has to lead to anything. I think we all do, me included, sometimes get so caught up on long-term. Everything has to be long-term storytelling. Everything has to tie into something else. Sometimes when you're in a city and you've got someone, you know, America's Top Team are apparently based in Miami and they're available on the night. Hey, do you want to come in, just do a little thing to pop the crowd? Yeah, sure. It's a one-off. Yeah. All for
it's
that.
A variety show.
Kevin Smith being shown in the crowd didn't then turn into a giant feud.
And in fairness, it didn't turn into anything.
But I would not mind Dan Lambert becoming something in this company. I thought he was extraordinary. And the main event was absolutely superb. A street fight between the Young Bucks and Penta and Eddie Kingston for the tag team titles.
Yeah, I made this point with the triple threat match at Double or Nothing, where we all said, like, I never at one point went into that match thinking there's no other winner here than Kenny Omega. Like, Kenny Omega is leaving this match as champion. Mm. But he's so great and Cassidy's so great and Pac is so great that they made me believe that you could change the titles here. Same thing happened. I went into this match thinking, like, I don't think the Young Bucks are dropping the belts here. It'd be cool because, like, they're in front of a live crowd, you know, and they're on the road now. That would be quite a way to sort of pop the crowd this and the other. But I think that the Young Bucks are definitely going to retain here. But all four of them are so poib and so great that I was like, I think they're going to switch the titles. I think they're going to have Eddie and Penta win here. And I... this was so much fun. Not only that, I particularly enjoyed Callis on commentary. Because I always do. Always enjoy Callis on commentary. And he had these amazing lines where he said, the Young Bucks, because it's a street fight, right? And the Young Bucks come out in these denim hot pants. And Callis has the line, it was like, look at the Young Bucks. They're roughhouses. They're wearing denim. Which made me laugh. And he's like, this is plain sailing for the Young Bucks. They grew up on the rough streets of Rancho Cucamonga. Like, <it's California. laughs> And the guy's like, yeah, I've heard that the streets are real tough there in Rancho Cucamonga. Like, it was really good. Like, it was a massive schmoz at the end, but I thoroughly enjoyed it all.
Yeah, loads of interference, loads of sort of weapon spots. The interference... that nullified itself, though. The Good Brothers ran down. Brandon Cutler was there. Michael Nakazawa got taken out early. I'm loving what Kaz is doing as the Elite Hunter right now, where he just pops up and takes out members of the Elite who are trying to interfere. He wiped out Brandon Cutler through a table with the cold spray. Cutler doing, like, the oversell again with the spray as he went through the table. And some really cool spots. A Penta Canadian Destroyer on Matt off the apron through a table outside. That was just, like... the camera almost missed it going into a commercial break. The finish was Kingston getting his a mouthful of thumbtacks super kicked. They'd done that in a three-way with Jimmy Havoc, I remember, a couple of years ago, but still very cool. But the spot for me was Kingston has Matt in a choke and the referee's like down looking at it. Nick Jackson gets up to the top rope and he's looking at them. And he's like, well, I should break up the choke. But then, and this is me getting the inference of the story here. No, you know, they haven't said this, but I see Nick seeing that and remembering what Kenny did at Double or Nothing when Pac would not let go of the brutalizer on Orange Cassidy. And he's like, Eddie Kingston's a similar kind of character to Pac. I could hit a 450 on him and he might just keep hold and choke out my brother and we lose the titles. So just like Kenny, he hits a 450 splash on the referee.
It was amazing. So great. And, like, you know, they put this over on commentary as well. I was like, Nick has got a choice here. Which one's he going to go for? And he went for the referee because he was, like, you know, going back and forth which one he's going to do. I loved it. And then we then got, so, like, you know, that's one finish. Because Matt starts tapping out. Like, as soon as the referee hits, Matt starts tapping out. And then you have the Elite Hunter stuff with Kazarian coming down and killing Brandon Cutler. And you have Penta hit the Penta driver into the back fist by Eddie Kingston. Another ref runs down. You're like, oh my God, this is it. This is the moment. 1-2, Nick drags out the referee. Just like, this is again, one of those where I stopped taking notes and I just got enthralled with what was going up on screen. And then we got a thumbtacks out. We got people throwing thumbtacks at each other. Hurricane Rana into the thumbtacks by Nick Jackson to Pentagon Jr. from the top rope. Then they put the thumbtacks in the mouth of Eddie Kingston, hit the double super kick and a double stack for the win. It was a wonderful schmoz to end the show, and I loved every single second of it. If I could highlight your hypocrisy, though, if I may, Mr. Davis. Last week you got real mad at MJF and Sammy Guevara doing the middle rope tombstone and it wasn't the finish. Yet here you just said they did a Canadian Destroyer off the apron through a table for the commercial break. And you're like, as if that's fine.
It's Pentagon. But the Sammy and MJ, I've seen Canadian destroyers hit everywhere, meaninglessly, for years now. I've never seen a second rope tombstone pile driver.
Yeah, okay,
so I'm not a hypocrite. I'm freshly offended. I gave it a 5 out of 5. I thought this was a brilliant show. But I said to, like, you know, I've seen a lot of people, a lot of people say this is one of my favorite episodes ever. I gotta be honest, I don't think it would make my top five. That's not a slight on this show. I just think Dynamite have had 6 out of 5 shows.
Yeah, they are the breaking a scale show. Really, really good. Mm. I mean, community chat was in line with you as well. 59% gave that a 5 out of 5 All Elite show, with 28% saying it was a 4 out of 5 awesome show. So that is like 80% basically of our audience thought it was either 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5. Like, that's nuts numbers.
The Khan coin stretches far and wide. But not to us that much, which is why we need your support on Patreon. Go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page right now and become a pledge hammer. And if you give $25 a month or more, we will give you a wrestling name and a shout out on this very show. So thank you, Rob Steiner Recliner.
I haven't got the names up yet. 1 second.
Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves.
The Knight Rider, Kit.
Hannah Allen Key.
Vito Ventura, Pet Detective.
Kenny, Everybody's Got a Price, Bryson.
Bad Connection, Thomas Lagden.
The Ghost That Haunts WrestleTalk, The Trophy.
Andrew, The Last Airbender, Mercliano.
The Cup Holder, Blake Cupholder.
Send Me to Heaven, Evan Reich.
And the Incredible Tarzo. Thank you, everybody. Go over to Patreon. It's not just shout outs. You get loads of exclusive podcasts, including, is it a confirmed winner for this month's Wrestle Talk Extra podcast? Ooh.
I will have a look, but while I'm doing that, I'm also going to promote the fact that people are very much sad that the mailbag is no longer there, that Team Danuk, me and Denise Alcedo do. It is now a Patreon-exclusive show. Me and Denise are doing an extra show a month now. Now we're recording it in about an hour's time. We're going to be recording that show. So there's a post up now for you to get your questions in for the mailbag. That's how we're doing it. See how we're doing in the poll. It's got 17 hours left, and Bash at the Beach 2000 is now pretty much winning in a landslide. 36% have gone for Bash at the Beach 2000. The closest to it is still Battleground 2016, but that's only got 15% of the votes.
Well, I cannot wait for that. That'll be fun. We have loads of Ultra Chats, and it's 4 o'clock. So let's get through these. Thank you, everybody, for your Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Gary Mouse, I popped insanely hard for the end debut. I'm not that excited for the potential Cody feud, though, especially if Cody's delusional enough to think he's the babyface in the feud. I would be shocked if people would cheer Cody over end.
I don't know, have you seen these crowd reactions?
I'm cheering him. Craig's Got Game. I'm excited to see what they do with Tommy Malachi, though they have not been able to do Occult Supernatural well. Hopefully, if they do it that way, Tommy will take the reins, since he has already was able to get the gimmick over in spite of WWE booking. Garrett Albright. Do you think there's anything to the name Matthew being mentioned in Black short film? That's Murphy's real name, right? Could it foreshadow Murphy to AEW, perhaps as part of Black's storyline? Very excited to see Black in AEW. Jam that jam.
I think actually he made reference to this. Like, Buddy Murphy retweeted the video being like, wow, yes, this is really cool. And Aleister Black, Tommy End retweeted that, calling him Matthew. So maybe there is something in that.
They had been fighting. Like, when the psychiatrist goes to check on Black, in that short film, he says, "You've been fighting with Matthew again." That's where he's got like this eye injury. So, and that was Murphy. So yes, watcher of this show, Connor Kennedy, on an earlier Omega chat, Luke, negative one being Dark Order's leader will be the point of a Malachi Black feud. Number one versus Black for Dark Order leadership. Number one becomes the first person to kick out of a Black Mass in AEW. Don't question the ethics. It's genius, bro.
That's what I'd book. Negative one kicking out the Black Mass.
Oh, yeah. And the One-Winged Angel in the same match. Trey Boyd, no one can replace Brody Lee, but do you think that Malachi Black will be the new Exalted One?
The Dark Order don't need a new leader.
Rage Bear 99. So happy that my favorite wrestler is finally going to get a chance to shine in a company that will appreciate him. My only worry is that the feud will end the same for Black as it did for Archer and the Go-Go. Cody wins, LOL.
I mean, maybe that's what they're banking on. Maybe this is just long-term booking to make you, the audience, think that Cody is always going to win, so that you're then pleasantly surprised when Black does.
Cody does only lose when it really, really matters. Brody, Darby, MJF. Those are the big ones in singles matches. So yeah, it makes it more special when people do beat him. Can't put over everyone. Stephen Guzman, also, I think you guys have completely valid reasons to not put the belt on Hangman right now, but I do want to see him win it all out so Kenny can finally get a chance to really rest up his injuries. Either way, I cannot wait. Quinton Whitfield, I think Paige should win the title from Omega, but not have a long reign and drop it to Black, and Black goes on a tear.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I think we're all... I don't know what you do with Hangman after he gets the win, because that's what we're all building to. But I think once you've given that win, you can't just take it straight off him unless that's part of the bigger story.
Josh Baker, the pop Hangman got when his music hit reminded me of when Stone Cold would clean house in the Attitude Era. Obviously not as big, but by all out, Hangman might be the most over person in AEW. I think he's already there, to be honest. Genetic Ghost, when Paige and Kenny locked eyes, you could see the mask Kenny's been wearing for more than 9 months crack. I finally saw the real Kenny Omega in there instead of the hollowed out shell he's been. Hangman has to be the key to healing the Elite. And they follow up with, Luke, you're right. Kenny losing, the Bucks losing, the Elite falling apart was the story the whole time. I think it takes tremendous guts for your long-term story to be that the pressure of starting a new company ultimately ruined you. It poisoned them.
Thank you very much, Genetic Ghost.
I'll pass over to you.
A Wrestling Talk sign guy said, I was at last night's Dynamite. It was a great show. The biggest crowd reactions were for Black, Andrade, and Tony Khan, who came out twice during the event. Andrade tried hard to get booed, but the fan reaction was too strong. Everyone just loved him.
He did Eddie Guerrero's Three Amigos.
Yeah. But he
That's
also
not
then
trying to get booed.
But then he also did say, I'm going to go for the frog splash, and then didn't do it. Stephen Guzman, last super chat, but this ex-WWE talent argument is just ridiculous at this point. WWE hoarded talent for decades, so of course a lot of the best signings will be from there. No one complains about WWE being full of ex-ROH and Impact guys. I'm done with that idea. I'll be, if anyone brings to the table they have too many ex-WWE guys, like, I think they don't have another argument. Like, that's the only thing that they have. So it's not a legit argument. Wrestling Talk sign guy, given how strong the Elite faction is, do you think Tony Khan should be an on-screen figure when they get their comeuppance? I've been to a half dozen AEW shows and he always gets some of the loudest cheers. I think he could be good as a corrective force.
Don't confuse like sort of real life over, like I think we're all very thankful for Tony, with incontinuity over. He's never been factored into any storylines. And we've been down the path too many times of the owners of companies becoming actual on-screen characters. It's only worked once.
Yeah. And he has said multiple times as well, he doesn't want to be an on-screen character. And I really do think that comes from Dave Meltzer, who did tell him, don't become an on-screen character. Sarah Sullivan said, my ovaries almost exploded when I saw Masvidal in the audience. My boyfriend squealed when his favorite wrestler debuted. I'm so happy you guys are back on your AEW pods. I don't want to be negative to the Raw fans, but damn, that show ain't good. God, I love AEW.
Agreed.
Bobby G, hello, gents. Go England. Question, where does Three Lions come from? AEW related. I feel the Nyla Britt feud is flat. Britt isn't a face, but in the sense of the Attitude Era faces, feel like they need an over baby face for her, but who? Suggestions. Oh, Bobby, you are not the only one who thinks the Britt Nyla feud is not working.
Thunder Rosa might be too early. Serena Deeb, I think, could work, but she, you know, she sometimes wrestles tweener heel as well. Yeah, Ty Conti. Rio.
Yeah. It's Statlander.
Statlander, you know, yeah.
There's some other names out there. This Nyla Rose thing is not working whatsoever, though. But do you know where the Three Lions comes from?
Well, it's the emblem. It's the football emblem on the England kit.
Yes, but do you know where that comes from?
The king used to own lions and ride them into battle.
Sweet. Not a real doctor in training. Last night's my show had so many great talking points. My takeaway is that Sean Spears' steel chair lapel pin is fantastic. I need to source one to wear to conferences. Also, Jay had a much better performance on commentary this week. It's coming home. Eternal Blue said, I know you guys want to project bias of any sort, and that's best for content. But as someone who stopped watching WWE over the Saudi Arabia deal, I don't care. AEW is the reason to love American wrestling. 5 out of 5. I really hope they surpass WWE one day.
Yeah.
Monty Granito, I really think Andrade is over. The crowd was chanting Idolo pretty loudly. Idolo and Black are visibly special in a company full of special stars. Can't wait for the video game.
I don't think Andrade feels special.
Jonathan Hedman, great show, my friends. Was underwhelmed with Andrade, not liking Vicky as his manager, but I'm not sure who else his manager could be. Thoughts? Great show overall. Looking forward to Quizzlemania. Hope Johnny Bollocks wins this week. I mean, well, Johnny Bollocks is a Sabutio player, so I don't think he stands much of a chance there.
Maybe Sully will do a sort of Aleister Black style thing where he keeps getting different personalities.
If he's doing that, I only want him to be tapas croissants.
It's Quizzlemania tonight, folks, because the England game was yesterday. We moved it to today. And it has Sully. It has Tempest. It has James Mayfield. But it also has Mansfield. It also has Killian Dane / Big Damo. It's a big one.
It's a big one. HCB said, hi, guys. Not going to lie, hearing a massive pop for a debut first time in ages was great. Question is, we've had a lot of ex-WWE males debut in AEW. Who do you think will be the first female? Side note, I was at Wembley last night. It is coming home. To answer your question, I think Ruby Riott would probably be my first guess. I think she'd be an amazing addition to that roster.
I would have said Zelina Vega up until last week. But yeah, Ruby Riott's a good shout.
Craig Pinn, am I the only one who really wants fans to chant Bay Bay after Britt Baker does her DMD gimmick? Keep up the great work. Love you guys for everything that you do for us.
It is fun, but it would be counterproductive.
Lee Spicer, hello there, Ollie and Luke. Last night's Dynamite was the first one I've watched live since the move to Friday, Saturday nights for a few weeks. I literally freaked out when Black showed up, and more so when Arn and Cody got the Black Mass. Loved this show. Oliver's Calf says, do you really think Cody isn't turning heel? He kicked QT in the dick and delivered 3 crossroads after hulking up. I exploded when Hangman came out, even though I knew it was coming. Thank you for your content. It's been a blessing through COVID.
Well, thanks for watching. I think the kick in the dick was revenge from QT doing it to him earlier. And it was all babyface fire. New favorite.
He is a baby face. Nate S, how can people hate JR on commentary when he still gives us classic lines like, quote, that's some real cowboy shiznit. I laughed so much. 5 out of 5 show, loved every bit. Hangman looked genuinely distraught on the apron. Beautiful storytelling. Bacon Rasher, hi lads. I couldn't watch AEW last night as I was too drunk. Not watch today as too hungover, but can't miss a Wrestle Talk review. It's coming home. Did either of you watch any of the game last night? Also, what's happened to a go-go push over after Cody jammed that jam? Well, Bacon Rasher, I highly recommend you listen to the audio podcast version of this, or if you're a member, one of our YouTube members, you can watch it in video form. Ollie and I, well, Ollie tells the story of him watching it at the pub last night and being there in central London for all of the madness that happened afterwards. Because it sounds, well, it's a tremendous story.
Standing on the peripheral of a large group of people blocking the tube. But just as a teaser, yes, someone did climb up on top of a traffic light and put a cone on his head and then fell off.
Stop the damn match. Leonel Landeros. Hello, first time Ultra Chatter. My question is, what do you guys think about crowd not booing heels? For me, it takes me out when crowd cheer the likes of Britt Baker, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks. They should be trying to get heat.
It's difficult. It's a different audience these days. It's very hard to be completely booed. I think MJF managed it the best, but he is totally unique and incredibly good at that. It's just a part of it now. But yeah, obviously it works better when the heels are booed loads and the faces are cheered lots. Also, to Bacon Rasher, a go-go's injured. That's what happened there, unfortunately.
Norm Summer says, Joker Penta is my spirit animal. The main event felt like it was made for both TV and a house show. All the spots and run-ins, loved every second. This company. Kevin, it wasn't a penalty on Sterling. Denmark got robbed. Speaking of predetermined sports, I loved this show. Really enjoy, really interested in Black Story. It popped so hard when Hangman's music hit. Audibly laughed at the Bangkok joke as I've never heard of it before. Well, I mean, the Sterling penalty went to VAR and the referee determined that it was. It was the second challenge was the one that actually was the penalty in the end. But also, Denmark shouldn't have got their free kick. So turnabout's fair play, I guess.
Yeah, go screw yourself, Kevin.
So many people messaged me yesterday being like, "It wasn't a penalty. You guys cheated to get to the finals." I'm like, Denmark shouldn't have got their free kick either. That's what football is.
Hey, those people.
Alan Partridge shrug. Host Keith Vasquez. Balia, Esther Cumbria. Congrats on moving past Denmark. Is there a difference between wrestling fans that like sports and wrestling fans that like comic books?
Yes. It's us, we're the comic book guys, versus Andy and Louie, right? And it's weird, isn't it? Because they're not as cool as us. And you would think that liking sports would make you cooler. But we like comic books, and we're the freaking jocks of this company.
So cool. Like, they're quite lame, really, when you think about it.
And Tempest likes sports as well, and he is so lame.
Unbelievably lame. It's weird that Pete doesn't read comic books either. That's why he's lame. One Anonymous 243. Last second Ultra Chat to say my name is Anonymous like the animal. It's not too important, but if you remember to remember, that'd be neat. Kevin said, I just found out I'm in the top 10 biggest Ultra Chatters on Streamlabs. Unrelated news, I made my mum a macaroni necklace for her birthday with all the money I have left. It's a joke. I bought her a phone. Trenton Brown said, to be fair to Ollie, Luke, when was the last time a Canadian Destroyer actually finished a match? I'm going back to, like, it's probably 2005 when Pete E. Williams was using it as a finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Dudley, with such declining ratings for WWE, does AEW have a legitimate chance to overtake them as the biggest wrestling company? I think you've got to factor in 4th of July weekend stuff for, like, the bad ratings for Raw and SmackDown this week, surely.
Very curious to see Dynamite's rating for yesterday that will come out this evening. I don't see it happening this year. But who knows? They're sometimes beating them in the demos. And that's, you know, some people say that's the most important number, but I think overall viewership still has that unmistakable allure.
Dean Barretton loved Kenny and Paige segment. The hesitation and the way Kenny was like, hey, me and you, friends, that's what I want. A reluctant Paige, a sly, over-friendly Kenny. Keep up the great work, gents. Ollie, that joke was brilliant. Hand clapping emoji. And lastly, from Chris Dudley, one more. I've been watching old NXT takeovers, and it genuinely pains me to think of all the wasted talent that has been so over and then called up. It's like they actively tried to kill them off. Is there a better solution? Oh, that's a sweaty patch you've got there, Davis.
I didn't know that happened. It's like, woohoo, oh no. Sorry, I missed that chat.
It's all right. Also, just to let you know, Rich was really on board for you and I talking about the penalty in Denmark thing. And then we said the people who like sports are lame. And Rich is one of those people. So he now takes his comment.
Rich. Rich is lame.
Editor Rich, who just edits things that we tell him to edit. oh, I'll edit the City World video for you. What a muppet.
What's he saying? He's saying F you over and over again in our little private chat. The NXT stuff, Wasted Talent. It's bad because, like, what do? You keep them down in NXT? That's no good either, because the whole idea of NXT is the excitement about seeing the next stage, the next generation of main roster stars. So when you've got guys like Adam Cole, Ciampa, Gargano, it just feels like when you stay in NXT long enough, you feel like a bit of a failure. I think, at least.
For me, a pretty simple fix to this is to have Vince go to NXT shows so he can see them. Like, I think Vince needs to be involved in the NXT process, because otherwise you end up spending a lot of time in NXT developing a character, going to the main roster and getting something completely different because you're now going to someone who's never seen what you've done previously. So there's a massive disconnect there. If Vince is involved in the NXT development system and product, then he knows what he's taking from one thing to the next.
So you'll just make them rubbish at the source.
Exactly. Yeah. Then that way we're not disappointed when something really good goes into something being really bad. Ollie, you will be pleased to know. There are three emails in the inbox, support@wrestletalk.com, with the subject heading serial killers. Jay, it says, hi, Luke and Ollie. Funny that I'm writing this in a while. I'm delivering milk during the early hours while listening to your podcast. I don't have time to watch the YouTube channel. With regards to the cereal, my wife has Weetabix with hot water and also raised our kids having it with hot water too. Yes, boil the kettle, put it on the Weetabix. She has milk with everything else, just not with cereal. Thanks, Jamie Anderson. Bearing in mind, Jamie Anderson, as you pointed out there, delivers milk for a living.
That's almost an insult. I think she's having a little bit of, an intra-couple alpha off. You need to start putting milk in the kids' Weetabix. It's weird. They're going to get bullied. I'm going to bully them.
Aaron says, all right, WrestleTalk, this is finally a topic I can sink my teeth into. As a kid, I would eat Weetabix without milk. I would just have butter and peanut butter on it and eat it like a slice of toast. Had it again last year, and as someone in his early 30s, I'd still give it 7 out of 10. Cheers, Aaron.
Like it's a slice of toast. Toast that you've left in a cupboard to air for 10 years.
My friend's sister used to do it. She used to just margarine on it and jam. That's how she enjoyed it. And I tried it. It's the driest thing. There's a lot of chamming that needs to be done to eat it.
Never heard chamming before. Is that a word, chamming, or have you just onomatopoeia and turned it into a verb?
I think it's an onomatopoeic thing, but it's what my friend used to say when we were at school. Chamming.
Proper chamming this one. What is the chammiest food?
I just told you it's Weetabix, dry Weetabix with just a bit of marge and jam on it.
I don't think it's a word.
Of course it's not a word.
Is chamming a real word? There's an article on it. Well, it's just taking me to the word cham.
I need to squeeze this last one in here from Alex, who said, I'm listening to the Raw review and I heard you talking about your conversation about cereal. I had to show it to my girlfriend because of a disagreement we have all the time. You see, my girlfriend Joanna doesn't call it cereal. She says cereals. For example, I'm going to have a bowl of cereals. She says cereals, there's more than one of them. When I asked what one piece of cereal is, she called it cereai. That's right. She's made up a word. I tried to explain to her that she's wrong until I'm blue in the face, but she insists that she is right. She even said that you two were wrong and said it's because, and get this, you're American. This is what I have to deal with. could you please correct her? And hopefully she will listen to someone else. To be fair, despite this error, I love her with all my heart. Keep up the good works, Alex Kirkman.
I think that is some top order trolling your wife is doing to you there. There's surely.
Oh, yeah. So I have, I've angered the Latino nation, it would appear, because
we've
I know
got
we need to wrap it up.
Why are you doing a bit? It's 3 o'clock. We're meant to be live seconds ago.
All right, I'll tell you another time. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Take care, everyone. I love you. Oh, tomorrow, listen to the show tomorrow, the Friday show tomorrow, because it's me, Denise, with Stephen Larson from Going in Raw, and EC3 from Ring of Honor is dropping by to talk about Best in the World.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.